4 if you're glad to be at church tonight. Anybody glad to be in the Lord's house tonight? Amen. I hope you had a good day, and if you didn't, please take it out on your neighbor. Come on, somebody. Because if I look around this room tonight, I see some people that actually act like you have Jesus and your face knows about it. Amen. You know, some of the most unhappy people in the world are church people. Did you know that? It's like a married man. You know, after a little bit of time, well, I'm not going to say, well, I can because my wife's not in here. Come on, somebody. And don't worry, I'm not going to tell what you told me before church. But I know my wife is in the other room, so I can brag on my wife or I can throw her under the bus real quick, fast, and in a hurry. I'm thankful to have been married to my wife, Regina, who's over there. I have 3 kids that, thank the Lord, they look like their mother. Sadly, they act like their father. But we've been married for a few years, and I've got a 17-year-old, a 15, and a 13 going on 21-year-old girl named Kyla who's with her mama. Now, ladies, y'all know what it's like being 13 and grown, right? Sort of kind of halfway, but not really. When you get to that age, and ladies, I don't know if you remember when you were 13. For some of you, it might be a couple of days ago. It's okay. But you remember when you thought you were grown. And I've got this 13-year-old that, since she's not in here, that thinks at times that she's grown. And I can remember those moments of raising my kids whenever I started in full-time ministry. And I was 19 years old. But when I started doing children's ministry at 15 years old at my home church, I remember when somebody says, hey, you want to do children's ministry? I'm like, yeah, you just got to be crazy. And then it seems like, Pastor, the more that's progressed in ministry, I think it's just in general, to be in ministry, you have to be crazy. But I think I look at it from the perspective that if there's anything that we as church people ought to be, it's we ought to be happy. But how often do you catch yourself looking at yourself in the mirror? Now, I don't mean egotistically bragging, thinking that you're God's gift to mankind. But when you look in the mirror, have you ever taken the moment to look in the mirror, and when you look, you just kind of laugh at yourself? Have you realized just how funny looking you are? Look around this room. Who's the funny looking people? Now, Brother Monty, you're not supposed to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Correct? But when you look around the room, there are people that look differently. But tonight, if I can challenge you with anything, and I believe, Pastor, you said I have till 10 p.m. Is that correct? Zoe said, all right, good deal. And some of y'all are like, oh, dear God in heaven, he better not. But look, tonight, if I want to challenge you with just a little bit of, as you can figure out, I like to move around. I like to use my hands, and I don't candy coat. I think we have a lot of people that are dying, going to hell, that's not just young people, that I believe are older people that have sat in church week after week, and they hear the stories of the Bible, they hear scriptures, they read scriptures, they hear songs that say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and all of these things. And we even have people that stand in services week after week that say amen, and they give in the offering, Pastor. And sadly, not all those people that say amen and give in the offering are going to make it to heaven. Now, I know some people would say, well, Brother Monty, that's not the popular thing to do. You can't, and if we look at what politics tells us, and I think this is that slippery slope that we've been doing in the church for a long time, is we've been stepping back from what the inerrant, infallible Word of God says, that we have to come to a perspective, we got to come to an understanding that what God's Word says is still the truth. Now, whether somebody believes the NIV or the KJV, as long as they don't believe the satanic version, as we look and see that what God's Word says is God's Word reminds us that there is still only one way to heaven.
Yes, amen.
And the reality of that fact is if we don't have Jesus, can I just speak some good Southern vernacular? I'm a South Georgia boy. I'm from the South. If you ain't got Jesus, baby, you ain't gonna make it. Now, in this day and age, we have this thing, and this past Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching at Kannapolis Church of God, and the title of my sermon was No Other Way. In today's society, we're quick to say there's another way to get there. You don't, and I made a post this morning that I kind of aggravated some pastors, which, again, I loved pastoring. I pastored for 9 years and loved it. I was a youth pastor, a children's pastor, a worship leader, and a lead pastor, and I loved it. But one thing I didn't like was complaining people. Have you ever met people in church that complain about everything? Lord have mercy. It's like a family reunion. You know what I'm talking about? Do you have some family that when you go to a family reunion, that when you walk in, you smiling, you're talking to your family, but that one cat comes in the room? That one person, you see them come in that door over there and you're like, hallelujah. And you strike a trot just as far away. Why? Because there's a disagreement in that. But can I remind you that if there's any group of people that ought to be happy to get together, there was an old song that says, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people, it said. But how many unhappy people showed up in church tonight? Don't raise your hand. And you know, in reality, you don't have to raise your hand because God knows how unhappy you are. Now, the truth is this. We have begun to set this dichotomy. We begin to set this line down the middle. If you go to geography class, you look and they have these boundary lines, these lines of demarcation that separate everything. And in this day and age, we're doing our best to do something we call building bridges. And what we've done is we've gotten better at blowing up bridges while we're trying to mend them. Well, this bridge doesn't work anymore. I believe, I'm going to explain, okay? I believe that what we have to do in church is realize it's not us against them. Right. It's we, and that's it. Because the reality is our younger people need the older people, and our older people need the younger people. And so we say, well, I just don't believe that. Now, I look at it from perspective that just a few months ago, my father passed away right after we moved here. We had not even been here a couple of weeks. And my father passed away. And my mom just reminded us, being how we live so far away, I've got two other brothers, that there are just some things I can't do by myself. I need help. Right. Now, I want to go ahead and dispel something. And I know it may not be the popular thing to do. And I'm only here for one night. So I'm going to say it. I look at it from the perspective of even whenever I pastored, if you're not dead, you're not done. Amen. Can you just let that soak in just for a minute? Because the thing that I look at is we have hell that's coming against not just the younger people, but hell is coming against the older people. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can sit back and we can say that hell is doing everything it can to deconstruct, to blow up the church. And some people say, well, you know, the devil is just after the pastor. I believe that, and I agree with that. I believe that that hell itself is after the pastor and the family and the children, because I don't know if you have any children that don't know who Jesus is. But can I remind you, there is nothing in hell that any of us should want. But hell is doing everything it can to come against the church. And if we're not careful, if we start separating us against them or we'll just let somebody else do it, God called us to deliver the good news of Jesus. And that means to every age group. And so as we think about this tonight, I wanted to throw out some things and ask you one particular question. Just how thankful are you to be a Christian? Now let that soak in your pot just a minute. You just put your collards in that bowl. You realize that if you've ever, anybody like collard greens? I'm telling you what, I almost spoke in tongues real quick, fast and in a hurry. Cornbread and collard greens right here. I'm a foodie. I love that stuff. And you realize that if you ever cook a big old pot of collard, and somebody, you don't do a bowl of collards. No, the devil is a liar. You cook a pot and you get a big stock pot or beyond of collard greens, and I'm telling you, and you know that you don't just throw them in there and in 5 minutes they're done. Come on, somebody. You need to throw you a big old ham hock, I'm telling you. Y'all feeling what I'm feeling? Y'all like, how long do you say you preaching? But you know that when you begin to throw that in there and you're putting the heat to it, you don't turn it on high and get it to boil. You let it cook slow because you know there's one issue with cooking greens. If you burn those greens, they're done. Y'all know what I'm screaming. If you've ever burnt any, and I'm not going to admit that I've ever burnt any before, but when you burn them, it's like corn. When you burn it, it's got that taste, and you can't do anything about it. It's like this thing to where you can always add salt, but you can't take it out. So when we think about the mentality of us having the nerve to walk in church week after week and say we're a Christian, what happens when we walk outside of the doors of the church? Right. Pastor, what happens when you preach a dynamic message on Sunday or on Wednesday? Because I hear you're the best preacher this church has ever had that's here tonight. or at least that's what Brother Raymond said back there. So when we think about it, what would happen if everybody in this building applied what you preached? How do you think it would change the dynamic of your community? When we think about the understanding of looking at this as a Wednesday night group, but what would happen if on Sunday morning every seat in this building was full of people that were not desiring just air conditioning, they were desiring to be in the presence of the Lord? What would happen? Some people say, man, I wish it was like it used to be. I don't want it to be like it used to be. You say, oh, there's that young buck preacher. He's wanting the new stuff. He's wanting the progression. You know what I want? I want God to be the God of today. The same God that was yesterday is the same God that's today. And whether I'm here or you're here, He's going to be the same God tomorrow. He's not going to change. So what I want God to do is what He wants to do for this moment. I don't want what He did yesterday. Did God move in the miraculous ways? Yes, but I remember what the Scripture tells me in Psalms. He loads me daily with benefits. So what that means is whenever I woke up this morning, no matter how I was feeling, it doesn't matter who's in the White House or who's in your house or in the outhouse. What matters is whenever I woke up this morning, the tomb was still empty. But if you go to the throne, it's not. So when I look at that, I ask you the question again tonight. How thankful are you? And if you have the nerve, if you have the audacity, the courage, the boldness, or some would say the ignorance, to say, I'm proud to be a Christian. Are you willing to be that way when you walk outside the doors? Yes, it's easy to lift your hands and say, amen. It's easy for somebody to finish the term when you hear somebody say, God is good. Somebody in the back, all the time. And all the time, God is good. We're quick to finish those things. But how quick are you to worship Him when things aren't going your way? When mom and dad don't like each other? When your kids won't call you. Let's be real, okay? Let's be transparent. When they won't let you see the grand youngins. When your kids don't want to talk to you, maybe because of something you did, maybe because of something they did, but you know there's something crazy that's rattled your cage to where if you really look at it, people don't like you. Pastor, do you realize some people don't want to come to this church because you're here? Think so? There's a lot of people that like your wife better than they like you.
I know that.
Husbands, y'all know what I'm talking about. When we look at this truth here, I want to ask you something. How thankful are you really? In John chapter 1 verse 1, it throws out a real easy thing that says, in the beginning. In the beginning what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Tonight I wanted to start off, and you say, well, you've been up there for a long time already. Don't worry, I'm going to mind my time, maybe. In the beginning, we look here, in the beginning was the Word. It's crazy that John, here in 1:1, begins the same way as Genesis 1:1. Why would God, in all of His eloquent fashion, remind us again, in the beginning? Because if we can't grasp the beginning that He created it all, then nothing else after it even matters. How dare we say we're Christian and have to rely on a pastor or musicians to pipe us up every Sunday morning to remind us we're a Christian? If the pastor doesn't preach from the right version or doesn't preach my right scripture or the musicians don't sing my right song, if people don't say, hey, if I can't fit into the outfit I used to fit in, we have all of these excuses on why we can't be thankful. You say, well, man, what you trying to do? I'm trying to stir church people to be godly people. We've gotten real good at speaking churchese, Christianese. Oh, hallowed be His name. Oh, I believe that. I believe we can go out and scream and preach all the King James Version we want. But people, when we open up and speak the Word of God, we know that when we speak it, it's not going to return void. But we know that some people, if they went outside the doors of the church and told them they were a Christian, they'd say, you're what? That just because we posted on our social media, or we put a sticker on our car that says we're a Christian, doesn't mean we are. You mean there are people that show up in churches that are faking? Yes and amen. If you're faking, you might as well be baking. And man, Pastor, you messed me up when you mentioned bacon. Because was the bacon any good tonight? Was it good? Don't lie. Oh, I see. You just play on my heart. You just... You got any left? I ain't even going to say anything now. Daddy? That's all right. It was them. It wasn't you. I got you. I believe that. Not really. Let me tell you something. When I look at being thankful, when was the last time you ate something that when you got finished said, you know what, that was real good? When was the last time you prayed and you knew when you got finished praying that it was a real good prayer? When was the last time you left church that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt today was a good day? When was the last time you asked God to speak to you and He did? When was the last time you were truly thankful? Again, when we have the opportunity, plenty of opportunities to complain about something, when are we going to choose not to always complain about everything? Remember how you were told if you don't have anything nice to say or good to say, don't say it at all. I used to hate it when people tell me that. And then I started getting some age on me. And then I started thinking, you know what? That was right. Which the one that always got me, if your friends jumped off a bridge, are you going to jump with them? For me, years ago, I'd say, you bet I would. Depends on what we're jumping into. It's the same thing that people throw out the argument that say, Pastor, we don't have to go to church. Can I be honest with you? The Bible does not say, if you don't go to church, you're not going to make it to heaven. It does remind us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, yes. But for those people that come and say, well, I don't have to go to church to make it to heaven. You're right, you don't. But you really don't have to have a parachute when you jump out of a plane. But it helps. Amen. It's about as useful, some people would think. Some people say, well, church is useless. If I go to church, I'm not changed. If I go to church, why? Some people look at those who attend church every week and they say, well, they go to church every week. I don't, but they act the same way I do. It's our lack of being thankful. In the beginning was the Word, it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Have we really become as useful as a screen door on a submarine? Just think about it for a minute. How useful has the church really become? How, and I think the way we can gauge that is how thankful are we really? We're good at listening and saying, amen, preacher. We're good at screaming out when somebody behind the pulpit says, you know what? We need more accountability. We're good at saying that in the political system. What we need is checks and balances. What we need is accountability. But how dare somebody hold us accountable and say that we're not praying enough? How is it that we're going to know the Word of God if we're not reading the Word of God? How are we going to know the heart of God if we're not going after the heart of God? How are we going to know what He wants us to do if we're not listening? So I think about this and wonder about being thankful. We begin cultivating a generation that doesn't like to be disciplined. And that's not just the younger people. Some people say, it's them youngins. The youngins do this and the youngins do that. I think there's some olderins that do a lot of crazy things too. Have you ever remember somebody telling you, I wish you'd grow up? Anybody ever tell you that? When you were young, I wish you'd grow up. I can't wait until you grow up. And now that you've grown up, you've seen some grown-ups that act a whole lot worse than those young kids. Because there was this mentality growing up with parents, and this is the way I had that drug problem. If you didn't want to go to church, you were going to be drugged to church. If you didn't feel good, lay down up under the pew at the end of the service, we're going to pray for you. I can remember those moments to where it was a joy to go to church, even if it was a forced joy. But I can remember those moments of, every once in a while, I can remember those moments growing up, man, tonight was a good night because something got a hold of me. So what I'm challenging us tonight is I wonder what would happen if we as the church became more thankful for what we have and quit trying to settle on everything we don't have. You know, it's one of those things, have you ever thought about it? If I just had more money, I'd be more happy. Have you ever thought about it? If you just had more money. Money, for me, hey, give it to me. I'll take it. People say, man, would you be happy with a couple $1 million for a little while? I'm going to figure something to do with it. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to do something. Don't worry, preacher. I'm going to pay my tithes. All these things that we think about, but when you look at the what really happens for those that win the lottery, most of them, because they're not understanding how to take care of it, it's all gone and it's wasted. Yeah. These people that once had millions of dollars, what is the jackpot now? 700 million or something like that? Man, what would you do if you had that much money? I'd just like to have seven extra dollars myself. I wouldn't even buy a burger now, would it? It might get a burger and one of those free waters, you know, just wet your whistle, be about it. When I think about this joyful opportunity to be thankful, I look at what Psalms chapter 106 verse 1 says. And it says, as he says, praise ye the Lord. Man, that's enough. That's a mouthful. That's a heartful. That's everything. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto who? Not unto the world, not unto your mom or your dad or to the pastor or somebody else. It says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Wherefore he is good. For his mercy endureth for just a little bit. No. Forever. So that means in the moments that I struggle, God is still good. Now, how can we, let's be honest, as we seem to have older people and younger people. Younger people, what is the joy in life? We have friends. Everybody wants friends. Whether you're snapping, you're talking, all of these things, like, look, we look at this thing about adding a filter to everything. When was the last time you took a picture without using a filter? Yesterday, maybe. When we think about that, that's something young people own. And so, well, they got them stupid gadgets. Most people in this room, or a good number, I'm not going to say most because I really don't know. A lot of people in this room have a cell phone. That you sit back and you may have even had this moment, I hate that cell phone. I wish I didn't ever have it. But it's just like insurance. You hate to have it until you need it. Yep. You know what I'm talking about? It's one of those things that's just aggravating. It's like the mentality of going back to getting your retirement or your Social Security. Remember all those years you worked and all that money they took? How much of that money are you getting now? When we think about it, you say, oh, he's getting political. No, I'm getting us to a mentality of where we're allowing our minds to be captivated, the where it causes us to be unthankful. When we woke up this morning, the same God that created the sun, the moon, and the stars is still alive today, and he gives me the privilege to wake up and tell somebody about Jesus. And you know, sometimes I tell people about Jesus without ever opening my mouth. You know, the reality is sometimes we tell people what kind of a Christian we are or are not without ever opening our mouths. So praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. That's great to say, but what would happen if we didn't audibly say it? Yes. When I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, as the old song says, man, when I think about what God has done for me, if I would take just a minute, and our issue is we become so busy with all these things that we're complaining and whining about, that we forget how good God's been to us. Yes, sir. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've been through some junk in our life. Anybody been through some junk? You've been through some stuff even right now. Maybe you're in a situation right now that if this situation was gone, and hopefully it's not your spouse, but if that situation right now was gone, how would your life be different? That negative moment in your life right now, that thing that has you bound, that thing that's got your mind so wrapped up that it's even hard to listen to the sermon tonight. Because life has become so crazy and nobody understands anything you're going through. Our young people are dealing with it. We had this thing back in the day of a nuclear family, a mom and a dad. Now they're struggling with two moms and two dads and four moms and four dads. Who's it going to be this week? And I sit here and think, man, what is this world coming to? That's what it's come to. But that does not mean we kick that situation to the curb. That's the moment that the church has the privilege to say, come here. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Just because we haven't been through the same thing they have been, or the same thing you have been through, because some of you have got some humdinger stories. Have you ever had those moments in your life that you're glad that God didn't get a hold of you for real? Yes, sir. Now, for me, I lived in the fear of God. I did. And my mama, my daddy. Back in the day, my parents were going to be my friends, but first, they were going to be my parents. Now, in this day and age, we got more parents that want to be friends and not parents. Come on. But at the same time, we have to understand that's the same thing the church is doing. Hey, young people, do y'all ever do dumb things? It didn't take you long to answer that. You do dumb things, right? Older people, have you ever done any dumb things? What? Are you for real? Did anybody do anything that really was not smart today? Man, you hope not. Well, when you get to one of those things and say, would you do anything? You know, I just can't remember. I used to think that was an excuse. And then as the older I get, I'm like, I really just can't remember. You know, back in the day, you used to have a belt with your name on it. People thought that was funny until you forgot your name. Hey, what's my name? So when you look at it from the perspective of being thankful, I look at it like this. Praise ye the Lord, or give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I love that moment. Why should I pray? Why should I be thankful? Why should I pray? Because God is good. And God is listening to me. Now the issue is, we say, God, are you speaking? We allow our lives to get so busy and all these other yin yin and noises. We get so noisy with everything else, we're not listening to God. And some people say, you know what? God's just not speaking anymore. Can I remind you that God is always speaking? We're just not always listening. Because I can remember growing up, my parents saying, son, you're just not listening to me. You're hearing me, but you're not listening to me. And husbands, I think we could probably agree that there are moments in marriage that my wife, who is over in the next room, that I can look over at her and I don't have to ask her, honey, you all right? Because in our over 20 years of marriage, I can see my wife's facial response. I can see her body movements. And I don't have to say, honey, are you okay? I just know. There are moments that my children walk up, hey, where's mom? And I'm like, they're like, gotcha. Because we're learning, we learn how people respond. So I'm asking you today, how do you respond to the goodness of God? How do you respond when I ask you the question, are you truly thankful? Can you say, praise ye the Lord? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth. Can you say that even in the situation you're in right now? Yes, sir. So if we're asked the question, why do we pray? Because God is good. The second part of that would be, are we truly thankful to pray? Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 comes in and throws on a little bit more. And he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. Well, you mean when we pray... How dare the Bible tell me that whenever I continue in prayer and I watch in the same with thanksgiving? Wow. How dare God's word tell me that whenever I pray, I should be thankful? Because even God's word reminds us, and this is how we ought to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It gives us that moment to know that when we pray, we're quick to whine in our prayers. When the Bible constructs and tells us, instructs us to pray first and be thankful. But I wonder how full of prayer we become with whining and complaining. God, if you'd change them, sure make life better. God, if you would do this, I'll do this. We've gotten this moment of telling God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. You know what's happened? Why that's happened? Because we've stopped being thankful. No, we ought to be thankful there are kids on the pews. Tell you how sad it'll be a church that has no young people. And say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Old school would say, what's that got to do with the price of eggs in China? We've got to have some understanding that we need each other. And we ought to be thankful. Doesn't mean those young people aren't going to be hard-headed from time to time. Oh, yes and amen. They've already admitted quick, fast, and in a hurry. They're hard-headed, right? You look like you'd be the hard-headed one for sure. Yeah. You got that big smile, but you're hard-headed. When I look over there and they look so smiling and all that kind of stuff, they're probably perfect little angels, right? They probably never mess up, never make mistakes, right? Never. You never do anything wrong. You're the perfect example of a Christian, right? Y'all didn't respond so quick on that one. When we think about the goodness of God and what He's done for us, I wonder how many, as we sit back and say, oh no, they're not perfect. I wonder how many over here could say the same thing. You know, God's goodness and God sending His Son Jesus gives us an opportunity to accept Jesus and realize that He is still the only way. Yes, but whenever I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. Because I know there's probably more than one other person besides me, and my wife would tell you real quick, oh, he's not perfect. But I think if you were honest with yourself, you've made some pretty bad choices in your life. You might have even made one today. Say, well, preacher, you don't have to call me out for it. I don't have to. God already knows, and that's enough. But it's the reality of putting on your big boy britches. Time to cowboy up, cowgirl up, whatever, and saying, you know what? I got to do what I got to do. So if I'm looking at this thankful to pray, he comes in continuing prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And that's not talking about having turkey and dressing. That's not talking about sitting around. It's creating a culture of being thankful. So when I look at another version, it says it like this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's crazy how the scripture pastor tells us how we ought to do things. How dare God put in His word how to live life? Right. I mean, who does God think He is? Does He really think He's God? Have you ever had those moments that the pastor preached a really good sermon and he stepped on your toes? And when you walked out, it's like, that was good. It got me. It's one of those, pastor, that was a good sermon, but woo, I think you cut some toes off. You remember when those moments when somebody would preach something that really grabbed a hold of your heart, and when you left, it's like, man, that was a good sermon today. Now, some people say, well, that's just when the preacher preaches good. Why is it like that? Why is it that we not just come to church already hungry for God's word? You know, they shouldn't have to sing a song or preach from my favorite scripture to get me happy. Because you know what? Whether the preacher preaches or the musicians ever play, God is still going to be good. And whether we agree with everything God's word says, it is still the inerrant, infallible word of God. And if I believe that God is good, then I need to live like it. And I wonder what would happen. Ms. Brenda, people started living right. What would happen, Pastor, if everybody in this church that said they liked you was being for real? What would it be like if every single person in this room that said, I've got Jesus living on the inside, I wonder what would happen if those people that raised their hand and said, I got Jesus living on the inside, started living like it? I wonder what would happen if we not just lived it out, but we walked it out, we talked it out. We lived out the life that God has called us to live. Because the truth of the matter is this. Living alive as a Christian doesn't mean we're not going to have issues. But it means when I have those issues, I know where to go. Right. I know who to call on. And it's not to get on social media and complain about everything. That's the joy of social media. Somebody say, well, I don't believe in that social media junk. It's just trash. People say that about TV, and you may not watch TV. You may not read a newspaper. You may have your favorite politics thing you listen to. You may have your favorite preacher. It may not be this pastor. You may have those people, but at some point they're going to say something that's going to make you mad. And you're going to put it down because you're going to say this, I've had enough. I wonder when the church is going to say, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to be who God's called me to be. I wonder what would happen to the Thomasville Church of God. Now, for me, when I mentioned Thomasville, the first church I was youth and children of music pastor was in Thomasville, Georgia, Okay. Actually. So Thomasville, when he said, well, hey, I'm at Thomasville Church, I'm like, hey. It was Northwoods Church of God, 640 Hall Road in Thomasville, Georgia. I can remember that church. And so when I think about Thomasville, that brings a lot of memories back. Me being that young and dumb preacher that'd say just about anything. Church started at 11 o'clock. If they started on time, and I'm an on time. I'm not God, but man, he's an on time God. Yeah, man, we started church for those over 9 years I was lead pastor. No, we didn't start late. We started on time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't God, but we're going to start on time. I believe you, if you're on time, you're late. So I look at it from the perspective that God has never missed his mark. When God has spoken and said it was going to happen, you can bet your bottom dollar, baby, it's going to happen. God doesn't just say, well, it might. No, when God says it's going to happen, you can bank on it, baby, because it's going to happen. So if God said they're coming home, if God said he was going to do something, if God said he was going to heal or he was going to protect or whatever, then you can write it down, baby, because it's going to happen, Captain. So when I look at it from the perspective of continuing prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, then that means the issues I'm going through in my life that I'm whining about and I'm complaining about really have no matter at all. You say, but Brother Monty, those things are issues of my heart. They're things that I'm having to deal with. There are things you have to deal with. But God said, if you'll give it to me, I got it.
Yes.
It's just the question, am I truly thankful? Am I thankful for who God really is, what he's already done? Which brings me to my next part. Why should I share prayer? How dare I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them? You ever met anybody that says, I'm going to pray for you? Mm-hmm. And you wonder, are they really going to pray for me? You know, back in the day, church folks used to be praying people. Show up for church, stay after church. As one knows, what time do you get done? I was asking her up in the sound booths, were loading up my scripture. What time y'all get done? Hey, just when the Lord. I said, nope. You tell me what time you normally get out, because I'm going to try to abide by it. I believe in letting God move in his way, and it's his time. I can remember those days that church just kept going. And nobody said, well, what time is it? Nobody cared about their pot roast. Nobody cared about any of that. What they cared about is being in the presence of God, because they knew that being in the presence of God, that was what was going to change things. And maybe the priorities had shifted to a spot to where we don't really want God to move, because if God moves in church on a Sunday or Wednesday, you know what? He's going to mess up our time. I'm going to miss my show. I'm going to miss my bedtime. And some of you are already on the struggle bus because you didn't eat supper before you come to church. And I already talked about collard greens and neck bones and all that kind of stuff. You hungry now? I got you. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful to share prayer. I wonder what would happen if this church, and maybe it's been like that for a long time, but I can remember if I go to that church, they'll pray for me. Are we more of a dying church than we are a praying church? Let that soak just for a minute. If somebody called you and said, would you pray with me about something? Will you really pray about it? I tried to do this notion that when somebody called me and said, hey, pastor, would you pray with me on something? And they tell me, let's pray right now. Because you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to call. And it's not the devil. It's just the way life is. The devil just made me forget. We give the devil more credit than anything. Something's going to happen. Life, because it is busy and schedules change from day to day, especially if you got kids, if things are going to happen, that I wonder what would happen if people asked us to pray and we stopped and we prayed right then. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't do that because we don't believe that God can anymore. Do we really believe, Pastor, that God can heal cancer? I can remember doing church I was pastoring at, first church I was pastoring, we did a service called Calling Out Cancer. What I did is, I was that crazy Pentecostal that invited the Baptist church and the Methodist church and the Presbyterian church and even the Catholic church. Won't y'all come and we're gonna pray specifically about cancer. We're going to call out cancer. So we had a night, had about 450, 500 people packed in the church. Man, it was a good night. Had doctors, had people that had been delivered, been healed from cancer from different churches, not just Pentecostal churches, that had been healed from cancer. The last one that I had was a doctor who was an oncologist who ended up getting cancer, and he put in a perspective. He said, you know, the perspective for me changed when I told people they had cancer. When I got on the other side of the table and somebody told me I had cancer. Can I tell you what can change your community and your family? When you walk outside of these doors And you take the understanding that those people out there need just as much Jesus as you do. Things are going to change. When we get the mentality that, you know what, God really is good, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
That we say, well, you know, Brother Monty, hell is enlarging every day. My God is still bigger than all of it. I still know who's going to win this thing. That doesn't mean because I know who's going to win that I stop doing what God's called me to do. That means that in His Word, He reminds me that you're going to be able to do greater things. What does that mean? I can lay hands on the sick and they be healed. Say, do you really believe that God performs the miracle? You know, some people say, Pastor, that you know what? Those miracles, they've ceased. I don't think that miracles have ceased. I think that we just quit praying and expecting them to happen.
There you go.
I still believe that if we would remember whose we are and what He's called us to do, we'll take that notion and say, you know what? You got cancer. Can I pray for you? And do it right then and there. The end of that service, we had 9 people come down. They weren't all Pentecostal. But I said, look, if you don't want us to, it's fine. But I said, we're going to call up all the pastors. We had about 7 different churches represented. So we're going to call them up. Baptist, Methodist, everything. And we're going to lay hands on as many of you that want it. Out of the 9, 8 people within a week that had the paperwork that said they had cancer were healed. You say, well, man, what about that 9th one? What about that other one? I have no stinking idea. And I think that's part of our issue. As we think about the 8 that were healed, but the 1 that wasn't, well, because that 1 wasn't, I just don't know if God can. I have no idea why that 9th person was not healed. You know why? Because I'm not God. But what He's told me to do is lay hands on the sick and believe and expect that He is still the God that performs the miraculous. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray with a faith. I'm going to pray with a faith greater than a grain of mustard seed. I'm going to move mountains. I'm going to move molehills. I'm going to do everything I can to believe that the God that I serve, the God that is alive and well, that lives within me, is wanting to perform the miraculous. And if He doesn't, it's not going to be because of my lack of faith. I wonder what would happen if we as younger people and older people just said, you know what? It doesn't matter about our age, because you know what? I have no problem with a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old laying hands and praying for me. You say, well, they don't understand it. Maybe they understand it better than me. Maybe they allow those other things to get out of their mind because they don't have what the world gets in their brain.
Yeah.
But maybe they're so childish enough that they really believe that God can. I wonder what would happen. I see that red and black you got there, brother. Go Dogs. Hardcore. That's where we sitting, baby. I look at football. I love college football. Georgia football. I'm 44 years old. I just told my age. Good Lord. I'm not as old as you, Pastor, but it's okay. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. You feel the pain. I do too every morning now. But for 44 years, it's been Go Dogs. And I remember people would say, well, you moved to another place. Does that mean you're going to change? No. I'm going to pray about it. No. I look at it from the perspective that if God was good yesterday, and I say He's going to be good today, I can agree and I can understand that according to His Word, that He is not going to be any different tomorrow.
Right.
Which means greater is He that's in me than he that liveth. Come on, somebody.
Yes,
do you understand John 3:16 is powerful? Continuing prayer and watching the same way with thanksgiving. God is still going to be God. He's still going to be good. He's still performing the miraculous. God is still loving crazy people. People that make mistakes. And I know I'm probably the only one in this room that's ever made a mistake. But when I look in this room, it's not just the young people. Y'all make mistakes. You just said it a while ago. And you know, that's good. It's the first step to change. You got to admit you got a problem. Some of y'all having flashbacks. Let me tell you something. God is good. One more point, and I'm going to shut up because my time is up. Let me remind you of some things. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Give thanks, make His deeds known among the peoples. Give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. Maybe the reason we're not seeing the miraculous is because we're calling on other people's names. I'm not opposed to doctors because I believe that God orders the steps of doctors. I believe God can bless a trash truck driver just as much as He can as an astronaut. I still believe God will use anything, anyone that makes themselves available. Right. He'll use a donkey if He needs to.
Right.
And I'm not talking about those with two legs. Listen to what God is doing. Notice what He says here. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. It's a couple of old sayings. Being challenged is inevitable. Being defeated is optional. Are we learning to fail or are we failing to learn? Christianity is not something of arrogance, but it's something of confidence. We pray because we know that He is listening. We have to realize that with Jesus, we will make it. Whatever situation you're in right now may not be the perfect situation, but I know the perfect God for you. So when I think about it, we still have to understand the joy still comes in the morning. And some people, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it because I might be the only one in here that even in school, man, if I could just make it through tomorrow, if I could make it through that test, maybe your marriage and your life, man, if I could just make it until tomorrow, you made it, baby. Or maybe you're stuck in that midnight hour moment. I just don't know if I can make it. Joy still comes in the morning. We cannot allow ourselves to get so wrapped up in the darkness preaching today. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, they say. But God's Word says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. If we allow ourselves, we'll focus more on the negativity of the world and forget what the Word of God says. Word and world are only one letter difference, church. There is darkness, but we have the light of the world. Winston Churchill says this, success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. Young people, some of these old people in here, they have failed a lot. Can I be honest with you? Some of them still ain't learned their lesson yet. Some of them still ignorant. I know I'm not looking over, I'm just looking in because some of them are like, how dare he call me ignorant? But there's some people in here that if they were honest with them, they made plenty of mistakes. Probably made some today. Probably that if you knew some of the things they've done in their path, in their past, you'd probably be sitting on that side of the sanctuary anyways. But you know what? They're still learning. So one thing I remind my kids, and let me shoot it over here to you real quick. I got a 17-year-old, 15-year-old, and 13-year-old. I have to apologize to my kids all the time. I don't have to. I get to. Because my 17-year-old, he got curly hair. He thinks he's cool. He thinks he's hot and all that jazz. He's not, but he thinks he is. And I have to remind him of, son, I will win. If it ever gets to that moment, I'm going to fight dirty. I'm going to win. I don't know if y'all got a youngin. I'm like, son, back off. But I say it, you have to understand, you're the first 17-year-old I've ever had. I'm still learning. Don't forget, I'm still learning. Don't forget, they're still learning. But they've been where you are. Maybe not in the same situation. They did some dumb things growing up too. Maybe earlier today. You said some things probably you're not happy about either. If they knew what you've done lately, boys howdy. Isn't it crazy that if people in this room knew what you had done, they probably wouldn't look at you the same way. But the blood of Jesus has covered it. That's one of these things that we can't forget, but God says, I forgive. And I love, again, what Churchill said. Success is going from failure to failure. You failed multiple times, but you haven't lost your enthusiasm. And in closing of this, too many of us are not living our dreams because we're living our fears. Can I challenge you? If anything you've heard, and I know I went over that 8 o'clock time, I see it's 8:04. Can I challenge you tonight that when you walk outside of these doors, do yourself a favor. Be quiet for a few minutes. And just think about how thankful you should be. Young people, life is never going to be perfect, but God's always going to be the perfect God for you. Older people, He's still the same as He was yesterday. That same God that said, you are dumb as a rock, but I love you anyways. That's the same God that when you wake up in the morning in your imperfect state is still going to say, I love you anyways. I challenge you to be thankful.
Amen.
When I say God is good, I mean it, church.
Yes.
God is good. He always has been and He always will be. I will continue to make mistakes. My wife doesn't always like me, y'all. If she was in here, you'd hear, amen. She'd tell you, ask her out of church. She'd tell you I'm not perfect, but I'm the perfect one for her.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Raymond, you've been following me with that camera tonight, right, brother? Yep. I told him, the first thing I do when I get to church, apologize to the cameraman. So you got to follow me. He said, oh, I got you. Let me tell you something. God's been good to me. God's blessed me beyond
amen.
What I deserve.
Yes.
Pastor, God's been good to you. God's blessed you with a good church.
Well,
most of them. God's been good to this church. 11 years, right? You've been here? 12 years? Well, hallelujah. 12 years they put up. 12 years you've been pastor here. Look at what God is doing. God has been good to Thomasville Church of God. For the last 12 years as the pastor here, it's been good. Before, God's been good. And you know what? If you make it another 12 years, God's still going to be good. God is good. Be thankful about it. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Amen. Thank you, Pastor.